Good morning. Aren't we all looking young and fresh today in this sunshine? I hope you didn't struggle too much parking, but we'll have to deal, won't we? It's nice to see you all. My name's Diane and I look forward to leading us through this morning's service, along with our music team of Rosemary, Adele and Young Lan. And Rosemary will also be reading the Bible from us, and Fiona will lead us in prayer. The centres of scripture for today is our God who saves us. He is the Lord, our Lord, who rescues us from death. So keeping that in mind, let's start with a song of praise. I'll have to go back one. I've forgotten, yep. Yep. So just about today's sermon, I'm going to ask Trevor to come up and give us a bit of an overview.
Well, we're continuing our Bible teaching through the book of Genesis, and we've seen that God created the heavens and the earth, and it was very good. And then we've gone to Genesis 3, and we see that's the reason why it's been messed up. And then we also then had last week looked at the story of Cain and Abel. And today we pick up on a very familiar story. We're looking at the story of Noah and the flood. So a familiar story, but again, there's a little twist in it that we may not have thought about as we hear that from today. So as Diane just mentioned, the sentence for scripture for today is that our God is a God who saves, and he is the Lord who rescues us from death.
Okay, so please stand and join us in our first song of worship this morning.
You
offer a prayer for the children and their teachers before they head out to kids' church. Loving Father, we thank you for the children who come to hear and learn about you. Be with them today, and we ask that they will be encouraged as they learn about your covenant for them and for us. Give their teachers trust in you as they share the joy of all you have done with these young people today. Amen. So as the children and young folk leave, have a hello to the people near you if you haven't already done so. Or have a look around and see who's turned up. Okay. Now we're reminded in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together this prayer. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Rosemary's going to share today's Bible reading with us.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse 8 through to verse 19, and can be found on page 8 of your Pew Bibles, or you can follow up on the screen. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It's good to see you, and for those listening in, a welcome to you too. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And as Diane has prayed, we do pray that you'll guide us into truth. Thank you for your Spirit who helps us to know who you are as we read your word and how to put that into practice. Father, help me to teach your word correctly today, and may we experience your Spirit encouraging us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, as Rosemary mentioned, just turn to Genesis chapter 6, 7 and 8 in your pew Bibles. We're not going to be, and or into the, just the handout that you've got in, or you could actually just listen in today, really, because as you can be aware, it's a long passage, long chapters in there, and the verses I'm going to be focusing on will be from chapter 8, verses 6 through to 19 there. But before I do that, it was very fascinating. A number of years ago, I found this article in the Sydney Morning Herald. And it's titled Noah's Flood of Problems Before the Rains Came, and it's written by a fellow called Harvey Grennan. And the Lord spoke to Noah and said, in 1 year I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all is destroyed. But I want you to save your family and two of every living thing. Therefore I'm commanding you to build an ark. In a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for an ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year. Well, exactly 1 year later, fierce storm clouds covered the earth. The Lord saw that Noah was sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, where is the ark? The Lord asked. Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there were problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction of your plans, because they did not meet the codes. So I had to hire a naval architect and redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with the Occupational Health and Safety Commission over whether the ark needed a fire sprinkler system and flotation devices. Then my neighbour objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard. So I had to lodge a DA with the local council, which is now before the Land and Environment Court. Then I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the boobook owl. I finally convinced the Department of Land and Water Conservation that I needed the wood to save the owls from the flood. However, the National Parks and Wildlife Service won't let me catch my owls, so no owls, God. The carpenters then formed a union and went on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the Department of Industrial Relations before anyone would pick up a saw or a hammer. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, I got sued by the Animal Welfare League. It objected to me taking only two of each kind aboard. Also, the Rural Lands Protection Board insisted each animal be tagged, tattooed and branded and its HGP status identified. Just when I got the legal suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They did not take very kindly to the idea that it had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. Then the Department of Planning demanded a map of a proposed floodplain. I sent it an atlas. Right now, I'm trying to resolve a complaint made to the Human Rights Commission that I'm practicing discrimination by not taking godless, unbelieving people on board. And the Australian Tax Office has seized my assets, accusing me of building the ark in preparation for fleeing the country to avoid paying taxes. And I just got notice from the Waterways Authority that I have failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. I also needed a boat driver's license. Finally, the Council for Civil Liberties issued an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying that since God is flooding the earth, it is a religious event and therefore discriminatory. Sorry, God, but I really don't think I can finish the ark until another 5 or 6 years. Aren't we glad it was a lot different? Let me pick up at this verse here. The flood is over, Noah's in the ark, and it's when he casts out the raven and the dove. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. The story of Noah and the flood, like the story of Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve, is a familiar Bible story. Most people know it, and I think I could be right in saying that the most popular of kids' Bible stories and Bible toys is the story of the flood and Noah and the ark. So I'm assuming it's familiar and well-known story to you too this morning. And so you'll be grateful, I know Rosemary would be, I hope that you didn't have to read all 4 chapters of Genesis that cover the story, Genesis chapter 6 to 9. However, I do encourage you, when you return home, to take the time to read it and familiar yourself with the story. Equally familiar and well-known symbol to most people is the symbol of the dove, with an olive branch in its beak. It's the universal symbol for peace. But I wonder how many people know that the symbol has its origin in the Bible, with the story of the flood and Noah. I don't know if you remember way back 20 years ago, in 2003, the symbol on the Harbour Bridge after the fireworks of New Year's Day was this symbol for peace. The dove and the olive branch in its beak. Boy, 20 years ago. Doesn't seem that long ago, does it? And the hope was, as it still is today, that we would work towards peace. Peace between mankind. And rightly so. We continue to work towards that hope and pray so. But the original symbolic significance of the dove in the Bible story, with the olive branch in its beak coming to Noah, was not about peace between mankind. Nor was the angel's message at the birth of Christ coming to those shepherds in the field at night like a dove to Noah did, singing glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth, a message of peace between mankind. It was a message of God offering peace with him. God taking the initiative to bring peace between mankind and him. It was a gesture of proof of mercy, prompted by love, wrong towards God justly dealt with, and forgiveness granted. How reassuring it must have been for righteous Noah, staring at the hopelessness of all that water, grieving over an ungodly and lost world, to see the dove and the branch and know that God had mercy upon him and his family and was receding the floodwaters. What joy he must have felt knowing God's wrath had passed over him and he was at peace with God. How wonderful the knowledge of this peace must have been to him. How relieved he must have felt, knowing the real and certain hope he had for the future, a gift from God. How he must have rejoiced when he realized that hope and placed his feet on the dry ground, knowing what was in store. And how thankful he must have been for all that God had done for him and his family. And we read that he was. But what assurance, what joy, what wonder, what rejoicing, what thankfulness, and especially what gratitude Noah's family must have felt. His wife, his 3 sons, and each wife
to then. For you may remember, amongst all the people in the earth, only Noah was found righteous in God's sight, blameless among the people of his time and walking faithfully with God. Not his wife, not his three sons, not their wives. Noah was the only one found righteous and blameless in God's sight. Noah's family was saved because of the righteousness of Noah. And being in Noah and in the ark, saved from God's wrath of the flood. Though undeserving, God had mercy on the family too, because of their relationship with Noah. What reassurance, what joy, what wonder, what rejoicing, what thankfulness, and especially what gratitude Noah's family must have felt at God's mercy, God's peace shown specifically to them. And how reassuring it is for us as Christians, isn't it? How reassuring it is for us as Christians. You see, that we know that God has had mercy upon us from his wrath. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Have we realized that the peace that's being talked about there is a peace of reconciliation? No longer enemies, no more at war between God and mankind, because God has had mercy upon us. What joy we have knowing that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom the righteous one, we have gained access by faith into the work of Christ on our behalf. It's into this grace and this gift of salvation, this gift of mercy, this gift of peace in which we now stand. And stand we do, like Noah in the ark. We stand in Christ saved, not by an ark, but by a cross. We stand forgiven and at peace with God because of the cross of Christ. Noah was saved and his family by a wooden boat. We are and saved in Christ by a wooden cross with Jesus on it. What joy we have knowing that though undeserving, God has had mercy on us. God's wrath has passed over us and it's on to Christ, and we are saved and at peace with God. For you see, at just the right time, wrote the Apostle Paul, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we rejoice in God, through whom we have received reconciliation. How wonderful. How wonderful the knowledge of God's peace must have been to Noah, and how wonderful the knowledge of God's peace is to us. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and the love he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How relieved we should feel, knowing we have a real and certain hope for our future as a gift from God. And despite day in and day out, we look upon a God-forsaking world, like a never-ending sea, people going their own way, grieving for a lost and ungodly world. We think upon God as Christians. We identify with Noah's family. We remember the dove and the olive branch, and we gaze upon the cross of Christ, grateful for God's mercy, grateful for his peace, the peace and mercy we have in Christ. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, undeserving as we are, we give you thanks for your mercy, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for the assurance of sin forgiven and peace with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Right, to reflect on our Lord and his grace, we're going to sing another song. We are his people. Please stand and join in. Please remain standing and together join to state what we as Christians believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Fiona's now going to lead us in further prayer.
Lord God Almighty, ruler of the nations of the earth, regard with favour our new King, King Charles, that in all things he would be led by your Spirit and protected by your power. Please give wisdom to his ministers, especially Anthony Albanese, our Prime Minister, Dominic Perrottet, our opposition leader Chris Minns, and all members of Parliament. Grant that all things may be so ordered and settled by their endeavours on the best and surest foundations that peace and happiness, truth and justice, faithfulness and true religion may be firmly established among us and make us a blessing to other nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the Creator and Preserver of all mankind, we humbly pray for all sorts and conditions of men, that you would be pleased to make your ways known to them, your saving power among all nations. Especially we pray for the welfare of your universal church, that it may be guided and governed by your good Spirit, so that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are in any ways afflicted or distressed, taking a moment now to silently name them before you. We ask, Lord, that it may please you to comfort and relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. All this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, when we look at your world and the many different struggles, sometimes it can be hard to realise you are still sovereign and still in control. But we thank you that you are. We thank you that even when we can feel overwhelmed, you still have a plan and it is going to be carried out. We pray for your mercy on New Zealand with their ongoing recovery from the cyclone and floods. Lord, thank you that you care for that nation. May they look to you for guidance. We pray for Britain after many quick changes of prime ministers. We pray for the current prime minister that you would give them great wisdom and that there would be much more stability and peace in that nation. Father, for Pakistan, you know the huge challenges in the last year for that country and their financial debt crisis, owing $30 billion to China alone. You know that a third of the country was flooded last year. We pray for ongoing recovery and that people would look to you for help and for hope. We pray for their new Prime Minister, Shahbaz Sharif, and pray, Lord, that you would work through this man for the good of that nation and your world. Father, we praise and thank you that towards the end of last year in Ethiopia, a peace seal was signed between the government and the rebel forces, ending 2 years of civil war. We mightn't have heard much about that, but we thank you, God, that you knew every detail that was going on, and you do care for that nation as well. Please bring restoration and wholeness to them. Father, when we think of Ukraine, we immediately think of refugees, but there are actually so many other refugees around the world. In our safe country, it's easy to forget about the persecution and violence and war that so many people live as a normal part of their life. We beg that you would stay the hand of evil. Please, Lord, may others be kind and loving towards the refugees, and we long for them to have a bright hope and a brighter future, not just in this world, but with the return of Jesus. Father, we pray also for the tension between USA and China. Lord, we do not know the best solution to that, but you do. And again, we do pray that you would be working in that situation for your glory. And Lord, as our world has been swamped for the last 3 years, we want to praise you and thank you that COVID is not as destructive as it has been previously. We thank you for the relief from that, and pray that you would help us learn to live well with it. Lord, for all these world events, we pray for your ongoing mercy and intervention, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our Link missionaries, we thank you, Lord, for the Pharisees in Kununurra. And with Daniel, we give thanks for the newly elected parish council. We ask, Lord, that they would serve with unity and integrity. We give thanks for the rain that they have had over there, and that they're able to enjoy swimming in waterholes and the refreshment that rain brings. Thank you that Beck and Annie will be starting a Bible ESL class. And Lord, we pray that you would be working through that class and you would be growing your kingdom. For the Pharisee family, help them keep loving each other well and grow deeply in their love for Jesus. We ask too that you would keep growing your kingdom in that remote part of Australia. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for our Anglicare Hospital chaplains. We pray that they would continue to treasure their own personal times with you. Please enable them, Lord, to serve patients and staff with humility and joy. We ask too that they would maintain effective professional supervision so they can be in the hospital serving there for the long haul and be well supported. And we pray for each of them, especially, Lord, for David, who was with us the last 2 weeks, that they would be winsome ambassadors for you. We pray for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, Lord, we pray for upcoming events connecting with our parish. We thank you for the service at Chiswick Manor that Trevor will lead this afternoon. And we pray for the wider communion of saints, that they would be nourished, that their faith would be deepened, and that they would continue to feel deeply loved by you. We thank you for the Women's Conference coming up in a few weeks' time, run by SMBC. We pray for the speaker, that they would be clear, the message would be biblical and uplifting, and that all who go would have a time of great fellowship, and that we would persevere in our faith. And we thank you, Lord, for the annual general meeting coming up in the middle of March. We thank you for our current faithful office bearers, and we pray, Lord, that you would watch over this parish in the year ahead, and that that annual general meeting would be productive and positive. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you could join me now with the set prayer for the day, which is that we may respond to the word of God. God our Father, help us to hear your Son. Enlighten us with your word, that we may find the way to your glory. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Right, as was mentioned in the prayers, we do have a women's conference coming up run by SMBC, which is always a very high quality, uplifting sort of conference. So 18th of March, it's not too late to sign up. There is a sign-up sheet at the back. If you have any problems, you can speak to Rosemary, and she'll put you in the right direction or help you enrol for that if you're interested. We'd like to also thank everyone for their generosity in supporting the work of this church through the offertory, either online or in the box at the back. And a reminder that we do have the mission envelopes at the end of the pews if you want to help support the Pharisees, which is one of our focus groups for the month. After the service today, we have some prayer available to anyone who needs it, and Dick and Barbara will be looking after you at the front, so please make use of that if you need. And just a reminder about COVID safety, we're probably getting a little complacent, which is fine because, as we've said in the prayers, it's not as dangerous as it was, but for some people it still is. So wearing of masks is not compulsory, but we appreciate those who feel that that's what the best thing for them to do is, either for themselves or others. The hand sanitising, we're actually going to be losing the pump spray at the back at the end of the month, so I thought I'd just give you a heads up on that. We will be using the pump packs, we'll have one of those on that table as you come in if you still feel that need, and there'll be some dotted around, so you can still make use of those just to keep our protocols running. I think that's going to be a way of life for us now. After morning tea, if you grab your morning tea, head out, the lovely sunny day, find a shady spot and enjoy fellowship together out there. And just a reminder, our sentence of scripture for today, our God is a God who saves. He is the Lord, our Lord, who rescues us from death. So let's close out with another song, which is encouraging us to share God with those he brings to our path this week. Tell out my soul, an oldie and a goodie. Please stand. eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks.